At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1, with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
All right, guys, I just got the site, and I'm subbed out this week by another commercial company, large commercial company, doing some VRF work with them, so this will be kind of cool. I wanted to get this podcast out, so I'm spending a few minutes this morning to get this podcast going. This conversation here is along the lines of those of us that are described as influencers on social media in the plumbing, HVAC, mechanical space, and why we do what we do. There's a certain reason why we do what we do. We obviously enjoy it. If we didn't enjoy it, we wouldn't be doing it. So I have Terrence Chan, the goes by The Impetus on Instagram. And Terrence tells the story of why he does what he does. And I tell the story of why I do what I do and how it's benefited both of us in many, many different ways. This is just a very candid conversation, him and I going back and forth with some thoughts. And we also talk about why people hate, why manufacturers shouldn't be trying to get people to promote their brand online with a t-shirt and a hat. We dive into many topics during this conversation, so I hope you guys get a good listen out of it. This is the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCready. This podcast is sponsored by Master, and they carry Yellow Jacket. And Yellow Jacket has a very new, cool tool out in the market to measure air velocity, which then calculates automatically through the YJack View app into CFM. It's the YJack Flow. It's an anemometer, and it's a good tool if you're trying to measure airflow, right? Get the CFM that's coming off of your air handler. So check it out at Master. This podcast is sponsored by Cintas. They provide blue collar uniforms to electrical, plumbing, HVAC, refrigeration, all the mechanical trades. If you're blue collar, they got what you need to stay comfortable, whether it be summer, fall, winter, spring. So check out Cintas.com/HVAC Know-It-All.
Welcome to the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. Recorded from a basement somewhere in Toronto, Canada, your host and HVAC tech, Gary McCready, will take you on a deep dive into the industry, discussing all things HVAC, from storytelling to technical discussion. Enjoy the show.
All right, Terrence, there's so many places we could take this conversation. So I think the first question I'll probably ask you is what is your definition of an influencer? And I can tell you what mine is afterwards.
My definition, I talked about this to a few people. I think people are misunderstanding the definition of influencer. For me, it's somebody who can really influence things that happen. And it doesn't really come with the territory of having a certain amount of followers. It's really somebody that can influence the next person to help that next person with either what they're buying or the decisions they make in their business and many other things. I think that's essentially what a real influencer is. But you know, leading on to that question, I'm kind of curious to hear what you have to say and kind of building on that idea, because, you know,
Well, I mean, I don't like the word influencer to describe what people do online. I don't like it, because if you really think about it, everybody's an influencer. Every single person on this planet is an influencer. If you're a teacher, you're an influencer. If you're a parent, you're an influencer. If you're a brother, a sister, if you're a coach, you're influencing people around you with your behavior and how you act and how you treat other people. My son hates his grade six teacher. My older son, like my middle son, he's in grade six. My older son, who's now in the ninth grade, had the same teacher in grade six, and he hated him. That teacher influenced my kids in a way where they come home in a negative behavior because they don't like how they're treated in the classroom. So
that teacher is influencing my children. And then they come home and my children influence me because they're in a bad mood. Then I get into a bad mood because I'm like, why are you guys acting like this? And I don't understand why until they tell me. Then I get upset with the teacher. So everybody has influential power. Everybody holds that power, right? If you get online and you have 1,000 followers and all you do is talk smack about this or that, you're influencing people. You're also an influencer. So my definition of an influencer is anybody holds the power to change someone's mind, change someone's perspective, change someone's feelings or attitude towards something else. So in that respect, to me, everybody on this planet is influential in their own way.
Right. No, that's cool. I mean, that literally puts everything that I'm kind of thinking on there. I think it's just for us being on the social media platform, they put that word in because that's where that kind of group of that entity is put into everything, where anyone with a certain following just is an influencer. I mean, at the beginning, I didn't really like that word either. But through growing and doing that social media side and seeing what I can do, I don't mind that title because, yeah, I do influence people's minds. I influence the activities that happen. I influence brands. I make sure we have marketing campaigns that happen through certain influences where, you know, we go to their booths and do certain things, or we do certain campaigns with them because we're trying to influence people into purchasing certain products that we like. And I think a lot of people get it wrong because they also don't know that when a company is created and when there's certain core values, it becomes an actual company where things are being done not just because there's a monetary value in there, but also a value to the people that I would sell to. And I think there's that misconception there that people are not deep in it enough to get their feet wet to really judge on what the matter really is. And they think that, well, a lot of people think that it's the first person that pays money that we say that it's a good product or something that we sell. But on our end, when we do the work now, we have our core values and we have our mission statement of brands that we work with. You know, if there are certain brands that don't stand behind the product, we also vet the product. We also vet the brand before we start selling it. And from my experience, even as I'm doing influencer and from what I hear outside or from even other industries, it's just, I don't ever think I've sold something that's bad to somebody that somebody came back and said, Terrence, this is a bad product. You sold me something bad. I don't want to use it. Right.
But I'm going to ask you these questions because I don't know. Are you actually selling products or are you just marketing?
I'm products? Just marketing products.
Exactly. So people need to understand the difference between, a salesperson and a marketer, right? That's those two things are different. I've had people come at me and let's keep this conversation. I gave you what I think an influencer is, and it can be anybody really on the earth that's walking around. It can be anybody, but let's keep the conversation to the social media type influencer. Okay. Let's keep the conversation there. And what I get a lot of times is, you're not an educator, dude. You're just a salesman. And I say, well, if I'm a salesman, the commission checks are not coming in because I'm not seeing these commission checks. If I was a salesman, you would see pricing. You would see where to buy it. You would see all of these things. When I demonstrate anything, and like you said, I vet products, things that I would actually use on a job site. If these things are not up to my standard, if I would not use them on a job, then most likely we're not going to talk about them. Some things, yes, because some things hold validity because I don't use them. It doesn't mean someone else out there might not see value in them. So what I can do is gather things and create discussion around it, not necessarily saying, hey guys, I like this, I don't like this, but what do you guys think of this? Give me some feedback so others on the platform that are reading can get value from it. And a lot of times I will do that if I'm not able to use the products on the jobs myself. So it's not about sales, because I don't receive commission checks. And I'm sure you don't either if you don't sell anything. But time is money. Time is valuable. Time is our most valuable asset. If we're taking the time out of our days to learn about a product, right? create content around the product for a manufacturer that is positive, that is educational, that the audience can take value away from, then yes, there is a monetization there. What that monetization is, it's depending on the person, depending on their business model, can depend on a lot of things. But yes, there's monetization there. And I don't know how, like you said, that you vet certain products before you go and work with them. How is that vetting process done on your end?
I test the product out personally for every conversation that we have. And I also reach out to people around the industry that have also used the product, whether they've had issues with the product or not. And I kind of gather all this information before I go on to start proposing the ideas of doing marketing and campaigns for certain companies, because I don't really want to influence, per se, the purchase of people or what people think about a product without knowing that they stand behind the product. And, you know, to roll back everything of why this whole social media thing came in, I want to share, you know, not too many people know about my goals, but what I want to share of why I did this to begin with was because as a solo contractor, when I first began, I found out a lot of troubles within the industry was that when you're too small of a contractor, your voice is never heard. And what I like from doing what I do is because now, since I have a certain following, I know enough people and there's an influence in that status, that there are things that I could do to help the industry, whereas I couldn't before. Because anytime that you work with a manufacturer before, if you're a single guy that has one or two trucks or vans, these manufacturers, when you have issues, they do not back you up. And that's the sole reason of why I wanted to push so hard on what I do, because I wanted to be the voice of the people. I wanted to be that person that could reach out to these manufacturers. I also wanted to be the in-between where the manufacturer can reach out to the contractors to just make a better trade overall. Because a lot of times what these I wouldn't say just the manufacturer side, but both sides, what they try to do is they just try to get at one another. And most of the times it's the smaller guy that loses because prime example, let's just say I have a valve that's broken and it doesn't work. And we went to install it, it leaks, we go back to the job site and we have to change it out. A lot of the times when we work with manufacturers, what it really pisses me off was they say, well, this valve failed, here's a valve, take it and go. But the problem is there's labor involved, there's a disgruntled customer involved, and there's lost time. There's opportunity costs involved. And a lot of times manufacturers don't see that. And I feel as a smaller contractor, we get screwed over on those certain situations because they just think, oh, we're just small potato, and they're not going to really do anything about that situation. And that's kind of where it made me go into this whole social media mindset, because now with a certain following and a certain voice, I can voice these concerns for these companies not to do that kind of shit.
And action gets taken.
Yes, correct.
So in the past, I've called it the Amazon of the trades, supplyhouse.com, because they got fulfillment centers throughout the US so they can deliver your product to you as quick as possible. So they have tools, they have parts for the mechanical trades, electrical, HVAC, plumbing. So check out supplyhouse.com if you're looking to get something to your job site, something to your front door or the office via online in a timely manner.
Okay. And I have seen similar things where it makes an industry better as a whole. It grows an industry where you might receive a product. Let's say if I'll receive a product and I'll start using it on a job site, and I'll get comments about, hey, did you notice this? Or did you notice that? Mine is doing this. Mine is doing that. And the manufacturers are watching. They're watching the comments and they're reading. And it's feedback. It's valuable to them. Because then we go behind the scenes and I say, hey, guys, have you seen the problems that people are talking about and people are discussing? Like, I don't pretend it's not there. I approach them directly about it. And I'm like, these are things that you can fix with this product. And you can now rectify these issues because we have an audience telling you what is potentially wrong and what is going currently wrong with these tools that we're using. So, and I have seen products go back to the drawing board, be taken off the shelf because of this. And then they're relaunched with fixed bugs, with minor issues that is so minor, but it's causing a major headache in the field, but they go back and fix it. So because of that voice, like you're talking about, because of the audience's voice from a large platform, it's being noticed and things are being corrected. And before, like you said, it was like, oh, here's the new part. Go on and get out of here, get to your business. But all you've done is mask a problem by giving me a new one. You haven't fixed the root cause of it. So now root causes, from my perspective and my experience, are being fixed because of the audience and because of the power that the influencer has. That's a major positive. And I want to tell my story about why I started doing this. Okay. It was about 8 years ago, and maybe eight, nine years ago. I was with my family. We were going somewhere, and we pull in to grab lunch somewhere, go to use my debit card, and it doesn't work. Okay. And at the time I worked, right, as a licensed refrigeration technician and gas fitter. My wife was a stay-at-home mom, three kids, not an easy task off one income, right? So we tried to use the debit card, wouldn't work. I go to online banking. I'm minus $4,000 in the hole in my checking account. I got credit cards that are maxed out. We're trying to get by. And I said to myself, I got to do something. I have to make a change, and I got to do something about it quickly because I can't keep living this way. I'm making a good wage, but I can't afford to live with three kids and my wife staying home with the kids. We can't keep doing this. So I've always liked photography. I've always liked videography. I've always liked short sort of writing and stuff like that. And I'm like, why don't I start a blog about the industry, my trade that I'm in, and just talk about the calls I go on. So I started a Facebook page, and the Facebook page, HVAC Know It All, was born. I took heat for the name at first, but as it grew, people sort of understood what the mission was. It's not me. I'm not a know it all, right? The industry comes across as know it alls. I mean, when you get to the comment section, a lot of times, I mean, I'm sure you've witnessed this.
100%.
People with no experience with a certain method, tool, or being in a certain situation, all of a sudden they know better than you. Right. So I'm like, let's have a little fun with this. Let's create something that's a little fun, a little sarcastic, that's going to turn heads. It's going to create conversation. So I named it HVAC Know It All. And I would say about 8-9 months in. Now I had an idea of, I wanted to monetize this somehow, but I didn't know how to go about it because I had never really gone into venture down a business path of my own in the past, right? I always worked for someone else. Now, one day I made a post, and this was a Supco M500 Megger. And I made a post about how I found carbon tracking of a contactor with this Megger. And everybody's like, oh man, I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know you could do that with that tool. I thought it was just for checking motors. And this guy sends me a picture, and he's like, I just bought three of those because of your post. We've been having troubles with blown fuses and all this stuff, and now I think we're going to start to rectify some of these issues. So thank you very much. And I'm like, well, I just taught that guy something, and he's just went out and bought something that's going to help him like it's been helping me. And I said, what if we can do this on a large scale, right? What if I can take a tool that people are not using properly, and we can show people how to use it and how to be beneficial with it, how to be efficient with it, and how to make their day go a little bit better? So that turned into a business for me. Okay. Slowly but surely, over time, I got myself out of debt, right? I started to build up wealth, savings, no more credit card debts, zero. And then we started to go in the other direction, savings account, bigger RSPs, stocks, like buying into the stock market, investments in different places. And it changed my life. It really did. But there was a lot of work behind it. I did not sit on my hands. I worked. I was up till you're a late night cat, like as you're telling me. And there were some nights I was up till 2-3 in the morning reading, watching videos, engaging with people, trying to build a brand that was all about positivity and learning. And that's why I started it. And it completely has changed my life and created a better lifestyle for my family. And as a man, as a father, that is, that's like inbred in you to provide, yeah. Right? And I felt inadequate at that point in time, 9 years ago, whenever it was. And now I feel like I'm doing something positive for my family, but I'm also doing something positive for the trade that I'm in and I work in, because people are enjoying the content. People are benefiting from it. I get messages all the time. Thanks for that, because you helped me today. So, I mean, does that, any of that resonate with you?
100%. I mean, from what you're saying, I feel exactly the same thing. And I know there's a lot of backlash out there, but I just think that they haven't really walked that path on really knowing the great feeling you get from helping people. And, you know, mm-hmm. putting onto your story, that's aside from, you know, helping people and talk about the manufacturer side and helping people have a voice, you know, that the other side is, I'm very happy as well as what you're saying, where people would be in my DMs or in the YouTube comment section and say, hey, thank you for this. Thank you for introducing Jobber, right? Sorry, not trying to plug Jobber, but seriously, like I've had Jobber out there and people are like, hey, this is really good. I've been using it for a while. I'm so glad I got onto there. And by the way, I didn't know this product existed. Can you tell me more about it? Where can I get it? It just feels great helping people. And that's what kind of drives me to continue doing what I do, because yeah, sometimes I have stupid content, but sometimes when there's work related content, I'm very happy that it does change another person's life. And being able to not only for them to learn from me and for me to learn from them, that's been a really big thing for me as well, through the networking, you know, through talking with you, through talking with somebody like Ben Poole, through talking to the HVAC doctor. Like, there's so many brilliant minds out there, and the type of installs and work that they do are so intriguing. And at the same time, there's so much knowledge that, you know, why would I say no to not be in this space, right?
Yeah. No, I get it. The networking alone is unreal. I mean, business aside, the networking, just getting to know people, like you said, there are friends with that I've met online that I'm better friends with, with people that I know in real life. You know what I yeah. mean? Because we share the same interests and we share the same goal and we share the same, trajectory. And it works. But what I would like to talk about is there are people out there online, and maybe this is where the negativity comes from. There are people out there that are giving the industry, because let's face it, this, what we're talking about, and we'll just keep calling it the influencer, even though I don't like the term, we'll keep calling it that for a minute. The influencer industry, it is an industry. It's a full-on industry. Like, the podcasting industry is like a $1 billion industry these days. It's a legit business, right? The influencer industry is a legit business. In every single industry, there are good and there are bad. There are people that do it well and there are people that don't do it so well. And maybe this is where we have negativity placed on the industry, is people that do it with bad taste. Because let's face it, there's manufacturers out there, they got large marketing budgets. Who knows what their budgets are? I don't know. But when somebody with an audience, or several people with a collective audience that could be thousands, are promoting that brand for a t-shirt and a keychain and a hat, I shake my head at that stuff, because why are you guys promoting a multi-million-dollar business for a t-shirt and a hat?
So you guys have been following me around for a while. You'll know that I'm really liking the Ambro Controls Oxy set. Now that they have the backpack, it makes it even better, because you can throw it on your back and take it to the job site, and you can throw your extra stuff in there, your Sulfos, your extra O2 bottle, so on and so forth. I keep my little Supco purging boot in there as well. So guys, if you're looking for a set of torches that's lightweight, easy to grab, on the go, check out the Ambro Controls Oxy set.
With this audience that you've put your time into, build content, create an audience to draw them into what you're doing. and you turn around, get a hat and a t-shirt, and you're shouting their name to the mountaintops. I do not like that. What do you think about
that? Oh, I hate that. And that's the whole reason why I started Impetus Media, right? It's to make sure that that doesn't happen when we have these signed influencers, to know that we're doing the greater good for them, to help them monetize on that area, because we know how much work they put behind their account. A lot of people that either hate on it or don't see always forget that there's a lot of work put into it. Unless, you know, there are some accounts, let's just say, where they posted one video and they became viral. Yes, there are certain people that luck out on that. But what about the people that have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 posts or a certain amount of following? There is no, how should I say, there is no thought behind how much work that person has done. And when I have people that start coming up to me and asking me, how do I start get my account following up and all that, and you start telling them how frequent I post and how much I edit, then people start noticing that, you know, there is a lot of work behind what we do. And being able to have a video for every day of the week, Monday to Sunday, on repeat and never stopping, making your stories, making that content, there's so much work involved. And when a manufacturer does come in, going back to your point, and saying, here's a t-shirt for representing us, that's exactly the thing that I hate the most. Because, you know, if you were just a regular contractor, that does work. But when you do that and you accept a t-shirt or keychains or, you know, a bottle or a certain product that they give you, you have to understand that product, which is what I tell the manufacturers nowadays too, is that when you're working with certain influencers, especially the influencers that are business owners, I understand that your bottle of whatever it is, or your product of this valve, only costs you a few dollars to make. And that's not worth the value or the amount of money or time that I've spent on my account for me to give that shout out. And that's the idea. That's kind of the reply I have on that question of what I think about that kind of marketing side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fought for that too. I mean, when I first started doing this, some people would come reach out to me and say, listen, I'll give you some product, and in turn, can you give us this many deliverables? And for those that are not in the space, a deliverable is basically a piece of content. And I said, well, no, because, like, for instance, if you send me a whole bottle of leak soap, for instance, I mean, I work for a contractor. I get this stuff stocked up in my van. My company pays for it. So I get no value from that. There has to be the proper value exchange for my time, for the audience that I've built. Because I'm going to be honest with you, building an audience can be tough, right? Because you can build an audience in many different ways. You can build an audience with a meme account, and you can attract thousands upon thousands. You can have a couple hundred thousands just from a meme account because your memes are hilarious, right? But putting yourself front and center, your jobs, your words, your methods, that is difficult because you take heat for that. No matter how you present it, someone's going to see a problem and you start taking heat for it. So there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of hesitation involved when you first start doing this. But once you grow that thick skin, and once you've dealt with haters, trolls, and you can shed them aside and learn that their hate is not necessarily on you, their hate comes from something within themselves and their life. They're just venting at you because they see you there. And, oh, look at this guy. I'm going to talk shit to him because I'm mad at he's pulling a vacuum a different way than I'm pulling a vacuum type thing. I see that and I recognize that. And to be honest with you, I received one of the worst sort of comments that someone's ever said about me just the other day. And you know what I did? I posted that comment and I didn't scribble out the guy's name. I posted it on Instagram and I posted it on Facebook. And I'm like, screw this. There's no way I need to take this anymore. So I'm going to put this guy on blast. And about 2 hours in, you know what happened? I actually felt bad for the guy. I felt bad for him. And I took the post down. And I was mad at myself I went through a bunch of emotions. I was angry that he said this about me. So I'm like, I'm going to expose this guy because it will prevent others from saying stuff like this, because they're not going to want to be put on blast either. Yeah. Right. Like, oh shit, I'm going to be put on blast if I talk like this. So I'm like, this is, I think this is the way of getting rid of this, is exploiting this behavior. And I still think that I'm not going to detract from that statement. I still think that's the way you get rid of it, is exploiting that behavior. So other people with positivity can jump around you and say, yeah, let's push this out. But about 2 hours in, I saw some of the comments that were being said about this guy. And I'm like, I'm taking this down, because now I feel bad for this guy. Even though he was out to get me, I feel bad for him. Because what if he is having a rough day, a rough week, a rough month, and I put him over the edge with that post and the people that are commenting back? So I took it down. But let's get your feedback on this. Like, when someone brings real hate to the table, do you think exploiting it, putting it on blast, is one way to sort of get rid of it? Or do you just think it, completely ignoring it, is the way to go?
For me, I honestly just ignore it. I don't really try to exploit it or give them the attention of the day, because, as you said, somebody might be going through a bad day. And if they're going to write that comment, does it really affect me down the road? Do my followers or people that watch my video think anything different? And at the same time, they just add to the algorithm. So for me, I have fun with it sometimes. You know, sometimes I'll give a couple answers. I'll make fun of myself. It's just kind of being bullied in school, right? If, you know, I haven't been bullied, but I'm just saying, like, the way to go around it is, people like to pick on people that give the conversation back. And for me, I just have the conversation to agree with whatever they're saying. Or if it's somebody that is really interesting and he has something to say, that they do better work or they do this and that, I invite them to the conversation to slide into my DMs and show me some pictures of their work. And I say, hey, let's compare work. And I think let's have some respect on each other, and let me see your work, and you can see my real work, instead of looking at this post where I'm being a tool talking about adding pipe dope on a press joint per se, right? I mean, that shit I do for fun all the time, because it's just fun. It's for me, it's fun. And it's funny. And there's always people going to hate on it, saying that I don't know what I'm doing. But I've had at least maybe a good handful of conversations where I say, hey, show me some pictures in your DM, and I start showing them mine. Then the mutual respect comes in, and at least I can change that mindset. But if somebody's just out to get hate and they're just trying to get me back and forth and trying to get me to talk, I just answer them with same, and I just move on with my day, because I used to do that. You know, like, I used to comment so hard that I'm on the phone for an hour and a half, going back and forth with this guy in the comment section. And I just found out that's a waste of time.
it's a complete waste of time. And I've done that too. I'm like, I sit there and I go, okay, today I have these 10 things to do. And then I'll get up from the couch and go, damn, I just talked to this one tool online who's arguing with me for 2 hours and I got nothing done. Right. But one of the reasons I take, do you have kids or
no? I have a dog.
Okay. So I got three boys. Okay. And two of them have gone through internet BS, right? It comes with the territory when you're growing up. People online, they're brave when they're not in front of your face. And I know people that have, their kids have gone through a lot, and I coach kids. I coach soccer, right? And I have, I don't know what it is. I have this protective sort of aura when it comes to kids, right? And when I see stuff like that, and I'm like, my kids are on here watching what I do, reading what I do. And when someone's talking about me like that and my kids are seeing it, I go to, like, you heard mama bear mode. I go to papa bear mode, and I get fierce, right? And it's an emotion. It's an emotion that's sparked within me. And I need to work on that myself too. But I just feel sometimes like Jeff has been doing it with some of his posts, but he didn't actually show the guy's name. I should have probably crossed the guy's name out, and I could have left the post up there just to expose the fact that these things are being said and they shouldn't be. And let's push this stuff out. My mistake was I left his account name and I tagged him, right? Cause that's how angry I was, because I'm like, there's no way I'm going to let my kids go through this, and then I'm going through this as an adult, and I'm not going to stand up for it. And I'm not going to show my kids that, yeah, I'm going to stand up for myself here. But again, I sat, I reset. 2 hours later, I took it down because I didn't think it was the right thing to do. And I'm glad I took it down because I don't know what that could have started if it was up there for days or a week or whatever. So, I mean, there's so many ways to deal with it. And I have in the past, I've dealt with people like this by like, you have a good day. Do you need a hug? Like, if you want to call me, some, I've dropped my phone number on posts. Call me anytime you want. Yeah. Right. Because if you call me up, I guarantee you're not going to take the same tone you are with me through wording. But I'll tell you one thing that did happen. The guy started to talk through that post when I left it up for the 2 hours. He started talking in it and his tone immediately went a 180. It went 180. He was polite. He was like, oh man, I thought you were just going to razz me back and that would be it. He's like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is another human being too. He's just a guy, right? Maybe he just was having a bad hour and that's what he wrote. So, but it immediately changed his tone. So I think that it did something, right? But I still took it down. Anyway,
I think it does do something, but you know, like the way I see it is as an influencer, content creator, there is always going to be hate no matter what you try to do.
It comes with the territory.
It does come with the territory. And the way that I found out is the way to drown it out is just create more positivity around it. Because when you look at these mm-hmm. bigger celebrities or whatever they do, how many of them even answer any of the bad comments? Like, I would say
most of them don't even look. Don't even look at the comments.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the way for me, the way that I see it is just, that's the way that I'm going to take care of it, because it's not, it's like a fly flying around. If you give it attention, they're going to try to grow on that. And they're going to know that you're paying attention to all these comments. But if you just look through all the negativity and put that positivity out, you know, sooner or later, it will disappear because your audience will do it themselves to drown out that negativity. And, you know, for me, I just don't like to give the attention or the time to do it. And I've been in that space so long that I just don't care.
Yeah. I don't know, it's very hard to sometimes control your emotions, especially when, anyway, let's move on from that because I don't want to linger on that topic of negativity, but I thought it had to be brought up because it's something that happened recently and it was on my chest to get off. And it's just some of the things that people like yourself and I that are trying to develop online brands. And I'm not going to take away from the fact I am trying to build an online brand.
100%.
Like I am trying to get on every platform that I possibly can, website, podcast, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok. I'm trying to grow an online brand because there's so many things that I can do with it at any given point in my life and pivot. It's been scaling constantly since I started it. It's been growing,
yeah.
Right? Growing in the business sense, growing in the following sense, growing in the sense that doors continuously open up. Sometimes you have to force those doors open.
You do.
By working hard. Sometimes the door will be in front of you and someone will open it for you. It just all depends on the situation. But this world is a different world than it was 20 years ago. And now we have an opportunity to do things like this online that we didn't before. And listen, I'm 45 years old. In 10 years, I don't want to be climbing ladders, rolling around on a roof when it's minus 20 outside in the snow. I don't want to be doing that. There's things that I want to evolve to. And this is just my stepping stone. I'm just getting started on this, right? This is not something that I'm going to back away from. This is just the beginning, right? And I don't know if you feel that way too. Like you're not gonna plumb forever. You're not gonna be on the tools forever, right? You can turn this into something else one day.
Yeah, and you know, there's something that I want to put, you know, a question onto you or kind of get your view on. I was talking to my friend the other day. You know, the advertisement space and the marketing space is always gonna be there. But I think some audience need to realize that when they do hate on influencers or content creators, my main question at the end of the day, some food for thought is, who would you rather sell to you or just say market to you, right? And the way that I think about this as a question is the fact that if I were to look at a product, do do I always want to look at the brand that's telling me that they're the best? Or if I'm scrolling through Instagram or YouTube, do I want to be seeing somebody's face on there who is familiar, who I know what they do in the market and in that space to talk about that product? Because if we weren't there as influencers, again, as that word comes, then who is going to sell in that space at the end of the day? No matter what happens, there's always going to be something and money put into the marketing side of somebody showing up in your feed to talk about a certain product. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I don't think if influencers weren't there, it's inevitable. You still have that kind of marketing. Instead of saying you don't want it on your page, you will still have it on your page because
Exactly. And I totally understand what you're saying. So my viewpoint on this is I'm a technician first and foremost, because that's what I've been for 27 years. Now, if I wasn't in this space, I would want to look, as I scroll through my news feeds, look at someone else on my level showing me how it's done. Not some guy in a suit. You know what I mean? Not some guy that will only sell to me because it's the best product and it's not, everything else is less than this. This is mine and this is the best. That's not how I talk about anything. I don't say anything's the best. Nothing. I don't ever say go buy this because I use it. I never say that. I just say, this is what I'm using. This is where I'm using it. Here's the application. Here is how you can use it. Here's how you can be more efficient by using this specific tool. Are there other tools that will do the same? Of course there are. But those people have not partnered with me to showcase their tools, right? And I abide by three words: learn, teach, and entertain. Learn, I need to learn. And this is what, when I get a brand new tool, things are changing so rapidly in this industry, plumbing, mechanical, HVAC, electrical, that every year these tools come out and I'm like, I feel like I'm opening up a manual and relearning some of this stuff. So I'm learning as I go. The amount of stuff I learned since I started HVAC Know-It-All blows away the amount I learned in my first 19 years in the industry, blows it away. So I have made myself a better person through this, right? I've learned how to deal with people better. I've learned how to be a business person. I've learned how to do my job better and what tools in what application is best use. So I want to see people like me that are on my level introducing me to these products, right? There's one product I demonstrated about a year ago. It's got 7.5, I just checked the other day, 7.5 million views on Facebook. It's a plastic PERT-L-PERT, that's the technical name for it, line set. It's got some like aluminum in there. And I installed it on a heat pump system that the local rep wanted me to install at his house. And people are like, oh, why are you selling us this? And I said, I'm not selling anything. I just did a video showing how it gets installed because he asked me to install it at his home. I'm not selling you on this. I'm showing you how it gets installed. So if you ever come across it, now you know what it is. Now you know how it gets installed, right? It's an educational piece of content.
Yeah.
I mean, go back to the learn. Oh, Jesus, now I'm getting all caught up.
Learn, teach, entertain.
I got to learn. And then when I learn, I teach. Because I had to learn how that line set went in. I learned from the manufacturer and I learned from the rep. And then I implemented those teachings onto a job where I taught other people. And then you throw in an entertaining aspect, like a reel with music on it, where you're not really, you can be educating with no voice, maybe the caption, the script that you write about it, but we're throwing in music that people like that gives an entertainment value to it. So those are the three words I use to define my content. And everything I do and every manufacturer I work with, first thing I say to them, how are we educating my audience? What are we doing to educate them? Because if they like your tool and they like the attributes of your tool, they like the features of your tool, they might go buy your tool because we've showed them how to use it in a certain application, right? But I'm never, at the end of the day, I'm never going to say go buy this because it's the best. I'll never say that because I don't think that's right.
No, I don't.
So that's my thought on
that. I get that. I don't think there is the best out there. And I think it's nice to do what we do, to let people know that it's still a competitive space that, you know, I think another side is for brands that are listening. It's just, you can never try to lock in people. For ambassadors, maybe you can. But for people who have grown a certain size, it's hard to lock in because our job and what we talk about here is to share experiences of what we learn and want to teach. And if we can only say that we're working on one product, like for me specifically, let's just say I'm a Navien guy, right? But just because I'm a Navien guy, it doesn't mean I'm going to say they're the best. For me, it has worked out very well, but it also doesn't mean I don't work with Renai. And I also work with Renai now because for me as a service contractor, it doesn't really matter what's the best. It's who can actually provide that certain support and be at that level in that playing field, because with every product, there's always going to be issues. And you know, Navien gets the biggest hate of all because they're number one. And when you're number one, I think a thing that I talked about in another podcast is just that the amount of units that they have is a lot more than the next leading company because they're the first in North America for the tankless water heater. So there's going to be a lot of haters because that 1% of problems that they have is equivalent to almost as much as the next brand that sells the next 1%. If that makes sense.
No, yeah. I got, yeah. If brand A has 100,000 units out there, right?
Yeah.
And they've got 100 units with problems, but brand B has 10,000 units out there and they might have 3 units with problem. It's a numbers thing, right? The more products you put out there, obviously the more issues. And that's the thing. Products are always going to have issues. Yeah. Every single product has issues. Doesn't matter who makes it. Doesn't matter where it's made, where it's engineered. Every single product along the way has a problem, right? I see people talking about core removal tools. Like you guys don't deal with those in plumbing, but core removal tools. Oh yeah. This is my brand. This is the best one. Go buy this one. Then the next guy chimes in. He's like, I've had 3 of those and they suck.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you can't gauge what, and then you find out that the guys that say that suck, they're not taking care of them.
Yeah.
They're in like they're rolling around in the guy's van for 2 weeks and then he goes and grabs it and it's not working properly. Well, because you didn't take care of it. Same with installation of equipment. You see so many people saying piece of shit equipment, piece of shit. But then you find out how they installed it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you didn't install it right. No wonder it's got problems. Or your installer didn't install it right. Now your service tech is there with problems because you guys didn't read the manual. You guys didn't nitrogen braze. You guys didn't pull a proper vacuum. You guys didn't do the things you're supposed to do to install the unit correctly. So no wonder down the road you got problems with it.
100%.
So there's problems with everything, and that's never going to go away. But like we said earlier, collecting those problems and giving those problems back to the manufacturer only makes the industry better.
Yeah.
That's all it does. It doesn't make it worse. It makes it
better. And you want them to have that friendly competition, because also if there aren't other brands in that space and you only get caught in one brand and you work with one brand as an influencer or content creator, it gives them too much of that power as well, where they don't believe that they have to do any better for themselves.
Yeah. Monopolies are not good for anybody. Not good for anybody. Even content creators.
Yeah.
Like, a monopoly is not good. Imagine if there's only one content creator out there and everybody watched that guy or that girl. I mean, that wouldn't be fun.
No.
I mean, because we all push each other. I see like a video and I'm like, damn, that's some good editing. I'm like, my next video, I'm going to try to out-edit. I'm going to out-edit the shit of that video. You know what I mean? That's sort of the mentality. You're always trying to, respectively, you're trying to one-up each other to try to get better content out there. And it creates better content around the board for people to be entertained with. So like I said, influencer industry, we can't have a monopoly. We got to have competition, healthy competition that all it raises the bar for everybody. Right. So if you're going to hate on any of this, here's the thing. If you're hating on someone that is being productive, being positive, and they're enjoying what they do, like why hate on someone that's enjoying what they do? If some guy's making videos on fishing and he ain't catching fish, but he's making videos on fishing and he's having a great time, I'm not going to get on there and go, you're a shitty fisher, bud. Like, pick another career. I'm going to watch the guy enjoying himself, having fun, enjoying doing what he's doing. If you have to hate on someone enjoying what they're doing, you have a serious problem with yourself, as far as I'm concerned.
It what brings back to what you said in the beginning, it's just those people are just not as happy with what they do that they have to do certain judgment on you without really stepping in your shoes. And, you know, there's always those comments where it says, oh, you're not a plumber. What you do is not a licensed thing over here. And this guy might be all the way down south from where I am and not in Canada. Or somebody says, oh, you guys are not able to touch any HVAC. You guys should just stay plumbing. But then on the other end, you know, you see this other dude who does the same thing, but he's also doing plumbing. And then they're like, oh, I respect the hell out of this guy, but since he can do HVAC, he's allowed to do plumbing. But since this guy only has a plumbing ticket, he's only allowed to do plumbing and not HVAC. But for some reason, because they're HVAC guys, they're allowed to do plumbing as well, even though they don't have the license. So there's a lot of that in between that kind of gets me sometimes, where I'm like, how does that make sense that because you're in HVAC that you believe that somehow you can do everything, or vice versa, even on the plumbing end. And I just feel like those people have something to prove with their ego, and that if they're not hurt themselves, they're not happy. And then they see you living a happier life or doing what you like to do, they just like to start shitting on you. And I think that's just a way for them to feel better about themselves. And then afterwards, collectively getting more of these other trolls or haters along just drives them more to feel like they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. No, I get that. And that's why the internet sometimes can be a dangerous place. Even talking about code. Mm-hmm. Well, that's against code. Where do you live, sir? Oh, I live in Texas. Well, I don't live anywhere near Texas. So let's not talk about code because it's different everywhere. So I do have a message for the manufacturers, if any of them are listening, and I hope some of them are. Please don't take advantage of people in the way like we talked about earlier, with a t-shirt and a hat, and then ask for content in return to promote your business. It's unfair to the people that, and I mean, even if it's someone that only has 1,000 followers, I mean, there's got to be a way to create a value exchange that is fair for everybody involved. And I'm all about value exchange. And sometimes it's monetary, because that's just what the value is. It's no longer a tool because I've already got it. Or it's no longer gift certificates because I don't need those. My value to grow my business becomes monetary. Sometimes it's not monetary for people, but the value exchange has to equalize out, right? Yeah. And that's all I ask the manufacturers to do, is make sure that when you ask someone to do something, make sure that you come to a fair and equal agreement so both parties benefit from it. I believe, and I don't even know if I should say their name, but one particular company, they bring a bunch of people out, let's call them influencers. They spend a week out there. They do a bunch of, I don't know what they do, installs, a bunch of stuff with their tools, and they don't get paid a dime. And these people are posting all about it online as they're going, promoting this company.
Yeah. Right?
Actually, I'm gonna say it, because it's that rigid experience that I'm talking about. Because I've talked to people that have gone, and I know what it is because it's promoted heavily. But the people that are going are getting, they're getting nothing in return but the experience. If that's okay for them, I guess. If the experience is their value exchange, they feel is fair, I guess. But go there and get the experience, but you don't need to promote them online unless you figure out, hey, I can promote this online for you. Let's figure that out.
Yeah.
So I just don't want people to be taken advantage of, and I don't want manufacturers taking advantage of people. I fought for that really, really hard in the beginning. I'm like, no, no, no. And I even made a post about it a few years back. If you're a manufacturer and you're giving people a hat and a shirt and you want them to shout your name to the mountaintops, stop it.
Yeah.
Right?
Or some people just most likely the tool people always do tool exchange because they like to see the value of their tool in comparison to somebody's labor. But aside from that, let's just not talk about tools in general, like any other kind of manufacturer. I always bring back and have that conversation with manufacturers as a message as well, is that you have to think about this technician or this service guy or this business owner. How much is he making per hour? And how long does it take him to make a video for you guys? And how many deliverables are there? And when you think about that in reality wise, if you were that business owner, let's just say making $100 an hour, or even let's say a service tech journeyman making $60 an hour, and the video takes you 3 hours, does that t-shirt cover 3 hours of labor? Or does that keychain cover 3 hours of labor? And if it does...
Not only that, does it cover access to that person's audience that they've built that's taken them years to build?
100%.
That's another aspect of it too, right?
Yeah, and I think those are lost in translation, and I think a lot of people are losing the translation of themselves as these content creators or influencers, that they think that this is the most that they can get because they're scared that if they say no, that the brand would just move on and move to the next person and give them that. But, you know, if you're watching this, we would just say you have to have the ability to say no and have them go to the next person, because if everybody says no, then they'll have to refigure out this marketing campaign to say that just a gifting option is not good enough. And why we do what we do is to make sure that we put that message out there so people like us that are in this space that want to monetize don't have to go against each other on trying to do all these things for free. It's practically like we're contractors as well, right? We want to work on the same level of a contractor who we see fit to make great videos. And we want to make sure that they're making good money if they're also being signed to do marketing campaigns. We don't want to see somebody that we talk to them all of a sudden and say, oh yeah, that event was great, or this was good, but they only paid for my flight. And then while the other guy was like, well, they paid for my flight and they paid for me to make videos and all this other stuff. And we got a dinner, blah, blah, blah. Right. That's kind of what I would try to go towards.
Mm-hmm. But see, even going to a trade show, let's say you don't have any affiliation with the show, but you're going there to try to build a brand, the amount of doors that can be opened for you if you introduce yourself to people and introduce yourself to them as, this is what I'm doing, this is what my goals are, it can open up so many doors for you down the road.
Yeah.
In different ways, right? And I just want to go back to the manufacturers taking advantage of people. I had one reach out to me recently, maybe within the last year, and they asked me to work with them. And they say, what would it take to work with you? And I said, well, not product. And I said, but to be honest with you, I can't work with you anyway, because there was some reasons. Okay. And I'm not going to go into that, but I said, listen, just make sure if you go ask somebody else, you ask them what their fees are. Don't offer them product. Please ask them what their fees are. And then a couple of months later, now they're working with someone else, and that person is monetizing the platform with that specific company. And I don't know if it's because I ushered them or urged them to do that, or if they had that in mind already, but I am not just trying to help myself. I'm trying to help other people as well grow in the space. Because I didn't want to take them on as a client. There's maybe we should talk about this for a few minutes. I say no to probably 2 to 3 people a week. I have collaboration emails that I don't even open because I know that they're bullshit. They're things that I wouldn't even touch. They're things that I wouldn't use on a job. They are sometimes shoes that I would never wear. You know what I mean? They're tools that are sold for very, very inexpensively on Amazon that I would never touch. So people need to be understandable the fact that we have opportunity to work with pretty much
a lot of brands,
who we choose if we have a certain amount of following, but we choose the right people to work with that will value us. We value them, and the audience will get value from. And I think if you're doing it correctly, that's what you're doing. You're vetting. You're making sure there's a right fit and the value is going to be there for the audience. Because the last thing you want to do is alienate the audience you've built with some bullshit marketing campaign.
And these brands that we work with, sometimes when we say we vet, it's not just a one day thing. It's not. It's been years. And I think a lot of people forget that. Yes, I look young, but I started the industry 13 years ago. And when I first started, I went to all the trade shows I possibly can with my own money. I flew myself out. I went to certain events, even the ones happening in British Columbia, Canada. I did all of those, and people do not see or understand where this real influence came from. And kind of where I want to put into perspective to let people know is that, dude, I've been doing this shit for 13 years. Every time that you were working and going home to do something at the end of the day, I went to that trade show until late night. I went out for the dinners. I talked to these manufacturer sales reps. I talked to these VPs. I talked to the CEOs. I talked to all these people to actually gain that name, to know them, and at the same time be able to work with them, but also vet their process and also know how they deal with their customers. It isn't just a one-day thing where I get an email that says, hey, Terrence, come look at our boiler. Hey, Terrence, come look at our pumps and start advertising. It was never as simple as what people think it is because I have a certain following. It came from the fact that I did all this work within the 13 years that I've been in the industry, where I've gone down. My guys came with me. Like, people do not see what I do. They think that I go to one or two booths and, you know, go to certain events. I don't go to any of those events that happen at booths when it first happened. I would go to AHR. And McGrady, I tell you, I go to AHR, I go to all these shows, and I will walk zigzags back and forth on every single row and talk to every single booth. And I did that 8 hours straight. No breakfast, no lunch, and not even dinner yet until the show ends, to gather all those contacts, to talk to every one of them, to really learn about that business and to get to where I am today, to be able to do all this corporate stuff with Impetus Media, to get these campaigns going, because that's how I've learned what the brand is about and how I've vetted these brands to finally work with them on that end. So, you
know, and I think any entrepreneur or any aspiring entrepreneur should know that as sweat equity. You put the work in hoping or knowing one day you're going to get something in return for it.
Yeah, it wasn't as easy as making a post and getting through that. Like, there's a lot of people with a lot more followers that don't know the same people that I do and are able to get certain campaigns because of just the sweat equity that I've put in. A lot of people think it's just, oh, he has a certain following. No, it's not that easy to get campaigns. It's easy to get one off.
No,
a one off is really easy, where you get your, you know, media rate, $600 to $1,500. It's easy to get those. But to talk about monthly campaigns for 6 months and a year and talking to the corporate level of the business development and all these other people other than just the marketing managers, that's a different level of what people don't understand of what has been happening for people like us that have been working in this industry, because we've actually gone through this whole process of really learning the product and knowing these people to help them do these things so that we can help the industry move forward as well.
Yeah. Okay. So if there's anybody listening that's a technician, plumbing, electrical, mechanical, HVAC, whatever, and they still don't understand, I'm going to try to parallel this in a way that is understandable to them and used to be understandable to me. It still is understandable to me. Imagine going to somebody's home, a commercial building, whatever it is, spending your day sweating your bag off, using your tools, using your knowledge, installing something, and at the end of the day, somebody offers you a sandwich and a beer. Is that acceptable? No, it's not. So you have to understand work and time and knowledge and sweat equity and all of this put together, it's worth something. I keep saying this now as I get closer to the age of 50. It's unbelievable to me that I'm going to be 50 in 5 years. Time is your most valuable asset. Use your time properly and make sure that you receive in return the value that your time warrants. All of your skill, all of your knowledge, all of your sweat equity, get it back. Because if you're not getting it back, you're not helping yourself, you're helping the person on the other side. get ahead. Make sure you get what you what you're supposed to get in return. The value exchange is super important.
Agreed. That's very good. beer and a sandwich.
Oh, it's funny because I mean I don't know how many times I've gone to you do a call for like someone you know, a friend, and I've been to calls at like they call me at like 9 o'clock at night. Hey, my AC's working. I got my kid's birthday tomorrow. I'm like, okay, I'll come right over. And it sometimes it's like, hey, you want a beer? No, I want like $300, right? You know what I mean? But at the same time, they're friends that now I've put a favor in my back pocket, and when I need them, they're there for me. So sometimes it happens that way. But all I'm saying is I'm trying to make the correlation between time and getting the proper value back for your time is all I'm trying to say there. So that's really important to me, and it should be to everybody out there.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay. I have to go on a service call, man. I promised the guy I'd be there at 3:30, and it's getting close to that here for me now. So I really appreciate this, man. This was a good conversation. This is a rabbit hole that we could go down for hours. And I mean, we could have even implemented a few people on this panel, and maybe we can do that at some point and escalate the conversation and maybe even get some manufacturers on here with us.
Yeah.
We could even get some manufacturers and somebody that's not in the space to give their point of view, because I think it would be kind of cool to get point of view for someone that's not in the influencer space, manufacturers, and a couple of people that are in the space to get a whole collective. So we can maybe put that together in a couple of months down the road.
Yeah, different opinions would be fantastic.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on here. And hopefully we'll see you again.
My pleasure.
We'll have another chat again soon.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow HVAC Know-It-All on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and anywhere else Gary feels like popping up. This has been a Two Smokes and a Coffee production.